We call this segment From Where I Sit, the consulting firm of Michael A. Dunlap and Associates. Why, one Mike Dunlap. Well, you're in town, Mike Dunlap. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Happy Tuesday, Shelley. You know, a month ago we had to do this by phone, that lousy winter weather and road conditions. So here we are in April and still stuck in winter. But it's a great time to be on spring break in the warmer climates. So aren't you anxious for a real spring?
Yeah, I think I am. And 42 the sun helps, but the 42 is going to be going to be chilly. But we're going to just brace through that and ignore. How's that? Maybe bundle up, keep the heat on. Let's get into our conversation. And I know we're going to divide today's conversation into two parts. I am at your service. The first is to talk about the latest reports as we crunch the numbers from Steelcase and Herman Miller. And the second, hey, you want to talk about your most recent column in the newly weekly publication called Business of Furniture?
Well, thank you. Let's start with Herman Miller's quarterly report, Shelley. Their performance was a little bit lackluster, but still up from a year ago, but below the three previous quarters. This is surprising to me, given the industry's more positive trends from certainly smaller organizations.
All right, so we go from Herman Miller to Steelcase.
Well, Steelcase quarterly and fiscal year-end performance was both surprising and disappointing as well. Their sales have actually declined from the previous quarter and previous year. So both of these reports demonstrate that the real industry growth is from the small to mid-sized companies, which reflects the performance from our own quarterly trends surveys.
Well, speaking of that publication, I know our mutual friend, I'll call him a neighbor, Rob Kirkbride, started this publication, Business of Furniture, in early January, and you are a contributing writer. So I think your column last week plays on some words which are difficult to describe in a non-print format. Here we are. So I'm going to describe it as the 10 steps towards the office of the future, but each of them starts with the letter S. That's kind of interesting.
Well, Shelley, before we go any further, I really want to extend my sincere gratitude to Rob and his team for the opportunity to publish From Where I Sit again after a brief hiatus. It's fun. You know, but I gotta say, predicting the future is never easy. Defining the office of the future has been in the forefront for decades from many sources. Furniture manufacturers, the A&D community, dealers, product designers, facilities managers, employees, end users. So I have identified 10 critical steps on the path towards reaching the office of the future.
And wouldn't you know, I have the list in front of me.
Well, it was intended, so.
All right, I want to start with seating.
Well, as the largest product category amongst all business furniture sales, it's understandable why so much attention is paid to it. I mean, swivel chairs have become complex ergonomic machines instead of just simply a place to rest our posterior and back. But, millions of hours in multiple currencies by dozens of companies around the globe are spent each year with the intent to create the perfect seating solution. I put that in quotation in hopes of being recognized as the next Aeron chair, which is from Herman Miller. Clearly the most successful swivel chair ever produced, but also copied and sold around the world. I mean, humans have evolved to be seated creatures. I mean, if you're not sure, go visit the simian section of the zoo and observe the apes, chimps, gorillas, monkeys, and orangutans. They sit a lot.
You sit a lot. Huh. 10 fingers and 10 toes, don't they?
Yep.
I think. Maybe not. Sight and sound. Let's go here.
Well, the lack of acoustical and visual privacy is frequently identified as a leading cause of distraction and interruption in the work environment. It seems to be more prevalent in newer or so-called open plan systems. Creating privacy is the new frontier for workplace research because it's not going to be resolved by noise-canceling headphones or earbuds. I mean, leaving a building to find a janitorial closet to make or accept a private phone call really is not acceptable in our work environments. I mean, personal video conferencing, especially with services like Skype, really cannot be completed effectively with the open benching systems or similar shared workspace programs.
Let's move on to simple.
Well, a declining popularity in what we've called systems furniture is more reflective more of a, it's increasing complexity than Dilbert's chronic campaign against cubicles. I mean, five different panel widths, five different heights, multiple shapes, choices of transparent or translucent or solid or fabric walls of expanded complexity. You know, add the spread of countless work surface sizes or shapes, surface materials, colors. I'll put all that in the equation. It's apparent we've created really one of the most confusing and chaotic product systems really available in today's office. So the office of the future must be simple. Fewer parts don't need to be boring. It just needs to be well designed.
Let's move on to sources.
Well, the business and commercial furniture industry will not reverse its strategy of purchasing materials and components or subassemblies or even select finished goods from the lowest cost sources that can be found. Price rarely really reflects the real cost, especially when considering lead time and transport, inventory, returns, and other higher risk costs by alignment with low-cost countries. But, you know, finding the best source of supply can still be found in Alberta, California, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Ontario, even Tamaulipas, which is in Mexico, and any of the states and provinces really in North America. I mean, it also could be Germany, Italy, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Sweden, even the UK. And of course it could be from China or Poland or Thailand or even Vietnam. I mean, I think I've made my point, and I know I've missed a few countries. But Anyway, those who find the best sources are the winners in whatever business they choose to compete in. I mean, lowest cost doesn't always mean it's the best choice.
Let's talk square area.
Well, we've been led to believe that our workspaces are shrinking, and it's probably true. I mean, the introduction of the ubiquitous use of systems furniture or cubicles during the 80s and 90s often provided occupants with smaller but, ironically, more usable space. Private offices, as we used to refer to them, are 11.5 by 11.5 feet square, which really works out to be about 132 square feet of space. Now, that space typically included a 30-by-60-inch desk, freestanding desk, couple of file cabinets, credenza, swivel chair, and just two guest chairs. But now we move to the common 8-foot-by-8-foot square in a systems product, or about 64 square feet, about half the size. That cubicle is actually more efficient, often with more work and storage space. And now, of course, the question gets to be, how small can we go without being stuck in a, like a classic iconic Red London phone booth? And that's what it gets to be, that size. And phone booth size almost seems to be the perfect office for some, but not really.
How about standing?
Well, here we are back at the London phone book. But, there are plenty of pundits who proclaim now that sitting is the new smoking, which we talked about here back in January. But if you ever stood on your feet for an entire workday with just breaks to sit, I think people, you might disagree, but you can't sit all day without standing, walking, or stretching either. So we need to strike the correct balance. I mean, in the meantime, sales of height-adjustable work surface products are only going up, not down.
Storage?
I've never heard anybody of any age at any time complain that they don't have enough stuff. We just seem to run out of places to put our stuff. I'm convinced, if you go to many offices now, people are walking around with backpacks carrying their stuff. And I'm convinced that the majority of the backpacks sold during the last 3 years will probably never see a hiking trail tent or canoe, but they'll attend a lot of meetings and earn plenty of frequent traveler points and cars or public transit or an aircraft. So the office of the future has got to find a better way to store our stuff.
Yeah, Mike Dunlap with us on a monthly basis. We call this From Where I Sit. Michael A. Dunlap and Associates consults and crunches the numbers and goes down the lists. So we want to talk surface.
Well, the concerns are the shape and the materials needed in the office of the future. I mean, rectilinear shapes fit nicely into rectilinear spaces, but they are really inherently inefficient workspaces. curved space is maximize usable area. I mean, we have a curved space right here in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, veneers and a nice warm appearance of wood like this has is, you know, very appealing. But, you know, the expansive use of more synthetic, really non-petroleum, non-toxic-based solid surface materials really make more sense for the office of the future.
Want to move on to sustainable?
You know, arguably, the issues surrounding sustainability have been around for decades, but it really took us into the mid-2000s, or about a decade ago, for the business and commercial furniture industries to seriously draw attention to it. The Office of the Future, I mean, LEED, which, of course, is the acronym for Leadership and Energy and Environmental Design, and the BIFMA Level Standards, these are going to be replaced by practices really deemed impossible by today's technologies. I really predict that in the future.
Wow. I'm now up to systems on my list.
Well, whether it's, you know, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, lighting, you know, wireless systems or other infrastructures, each of these is critical to create, build, and adapt a new way of allowing people to work. I mean, these invisible systems, which when I say invisible, we just take them for granted. These also have to be sustainable, efficient, and adaptable to the needs of the workplace. You know, even 30, 40, even 50 years out from now, because our buildings last that long. The Office of the Future won't look much like today, really, because, well, we continue to evolve in how we work. And I'm very fond of a profound quote from the late great catcher of the New York Yankees, Yogi Berra: "The future just ain't what it used to be."
Wow. And there would be an opening day today, correct?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I hope they can shovel the park out.
Well, but I think it's down south, isn't it?
Well, I think the Whitecaps open this Saturday.
They open this Saturday, too. Yeah, I should get them on air. All right, Mike Dunlap, another edition to ask where we find out more information about your good work.
Well, my website is www.mdunlap, it's M-D-U-N-L-A-P, -associates.com. My email is mike@mdunlap-associates.com, and my phone is 616-786-3524.
I bet that first week of May when we meet again, it'll be warmer than 42.
I certainly hope so. It was 17 at my house this morning.
Ah, well, you can only turn the earth so far in such an angle, so we'll have to just wait and see what tomorrow holds. Mike Dunlap, thank you very much. From Where I Sit, the first Tuesday of every month. Thank
you. Always a pleasure to be here.